Paul, I want to welcome you to your first franchise. Your last name is Huzar, is right?
Okay. Correct.
And you are from Tampa, Florida. You are the founder of VetCorp, which your shirt says right there. Before we jump into your story, your background, what VetCorp does, there's a couple of questions I love to ask. And first of all, welcome to the show. I love doing anything I can help to promote veterans coming out. Exiting the military is a great thing to help those folks. And then anybody who's interested in a business that's tied to veterans, I just love this space. It means a lot to me. My dad was a veteran, but I've got family in the military. So my first question to you is, if you are taking someone to do business and you want to close the deal, not somebody like myself, but maybe you're a potential vendor for your business, where would you bring that person?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me, and I appreciate we have a shared passion with helping veterans, so I appreciate that. So it's the place where we take our franchisees for our Meet the Team days, for our dinners before the day, the Meet the Team day, the following day. It's a restaurant called Seasons 52. You may have heard of it. I love it because it's great food. They have great food, great cocktails, all that stuff, but it's super healthy, and it's great. And environment conducive to have a really interpersonal discussion. And the best thing about it is at the end of the meal, they come by with these little shot glasses dessert.
Ooh.
So I'm a pretty big health and fitness freak, but I love desserts. So you can't go wrong when you just have a dessert that's about that size. So it tops off the evening perfectly.
You're speaking my language right there. I love I got a sweet tooth as well. All right. Who or what are you grateful for that helped you get you where you are today?
Yeah, I'm an accidental entrepreneur, man. I retired out of the military after 23 years serving, moved to Tampa because I wanted quality of life, and I stumbled in this opportunity, and I'm most grateful for this opportunity. I have a guy that was my business partner, still is a mentor of mine, a good friend, David Howard. He's really the guy. You asked if I was the founder. I was the guy, the president that started the company, but it was really David's idea initially. Mm-hmm. And he was the first C-suite level guy that knew what my resume meant. He had been an Army officer for 5 years and 25 in the insurance industry. Mm-hmm. And he's the one that had faith and confidence in me to hire me to start, run the company. And so both David personally, as well as the opportunity to start VetCorp and then grow it to where we've grown it today.
Wow. I love that. So let's talk about the journey to VetCorp. Obviously, you've got a great background being a veteran yourself, and that lent itself well to be in the franchise business, for starters, because veterans, one out of seven franchises in the United States is owned by a veteran, which is that's a testament, absolutely. And so, Leah, let's just begin with a little bit about you and your background, and then that obviously you were teed up to do this. So
I'm a retired Army officer. I was an Army engineer officer. I commanded a combat airborne engineer battalion on my fourth tour in Iraq. And then my last duty assignment, I was the director of training and leader development, better known as the dean of the Army's engineer school. Great experiences through that. The Army paid for me, a bachelor's in engineering from West Point. And then the Army paid for me fully funded to get a master's degree in engineering. Truly blessed career and great opportunities. And then when I jumped ship and decided that I'd seen enough of the world and my kids were getting ready to start high school. One was actually had just started high school. We wanted to settle down someplace and we picked Tampa, Florida, and then just stumbled in this opportunity. It's interesting how life works sometimes, because I was working on my last assignment to try and fix the credentialing program for soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines. Because when the military credentials them, or when they train them in one centralized location, mm-hmm. and then send them to 50 different states, it turns out they don't get a credential for the skilled trades, because the credentialing authority resides at the state level. Mm-hmm. And so it was a screwed up system. It's still screwed up. I don't know that it's ever going to be fixed. Mm-hmm. But when I got offered the opportunity to start VetCorp, to become a water damage restoration technician, a technician in restoration, it's a nationwide training credential, not a license. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a perfect fit for us.
That's awesome. So let's talk about the brand a little bit. Huge need. I'm from South Louisiana. Yes. There's a number of restoration companies here because the need is so huge. And it's not just because of storms. There's so many issues that can go wrong with a house
Yep.
every day, and they happen every single day. Life happens. So let's talk about the brand, what you all do, and what, and obviously you have a, you're rooted in veterans, but I'm sure you're open to others as well. So.
Yeah. And really the stuff we do on a daily basis is dishwashers, ice makers, hot water heaters, air conditioning units, roof leaks, kitchen fires, temporary roof tarping, that kind of stuff. And it happens on a daily basis. And what I like to say then, the catastrophes is really the icing on the cake. It's also a differentiator for us because we're veterans and we like to deploy to remote locations under austere conditions, establish operations and command and control those operations. So that's also allowed us to help really build this brand.
Absolutely.
But really, there's two really big needs that we fulfill. The first one, and why, what I'm most passionate about, is the need to create opportunities for veterans when they transition. We're at a point in time in our nation's history when less than 0.5% of the population actively serve in the military, and only 7% of our veterans have ever served. And as a result, and that number is decreasing, by the way. And as a result, fewer and fewer people know veterans personally. They thank us for our service, which is awesome, but they think if you're in the Army, you drove tanks or shot artillery or infantry. If you're in the Marine Corps, you're a grunt. Navy, you're a F-16 pilot, or you've drove ships or submarines. In the Air Force, you're a pilot. Even those people are awesome candidates to become business owners and start a second career. There's so much more that people in the military do. It takes basically the same skill sets to run the military that it does to run a city. And people don't understand that. And as a result, particularly in 2013, when I started this business, veteran unemployment was very high. Mm-hmm. There still are challenges with perceptions and stigmas about veterans. Really, the need and what drives my fire and my passion is to create opportunities for veterans, both sustainable, meaningful employment opportunities. But now, since 2019, since we started franchising, business ownership and wealth building, quality of life building opportunities for veterans. The other thing in the restoration space is, I want you to think about this. When's the last time you had a service call of any kind at your own home services, right? In Florida, since we're here, I talk about air conditioning repair, man, mm-hmm. but call it the cable guy or garage door repair, whatever. And that person told you they were coming to your house for an appointment. When did they tell you they were going to be there? So I'm asking you the question. I bet I know the answer. I bet it's something like a 4-hour window.
It's a 4-hour window and you hope they show up.
Yeah. So for veterans, early is on time and on time is late. And that's what our brand speaks to. And it, particularly in Florida, where we started the company, restoration industry was in disrepair. There were disreputable contractors, as well as some public adjusters and attorneys that were creating this very adversarial relationship and driving up homeowners' rates. People thought it was because of hurricanes. It's actually not. It's because of litigation. There's so much litigation. And it all has to do with corrupt and disreputable contractors and associates that were doing that. So now you bring in a brand like VetCor that is provides timely, quality, reliable service along with the value of veterans. Our brand speaks to showing up early because early is on time and on time is late, and speaks to commanding and controlling really small unit level operations. And key to it is we're not exclusively veterans. It's veterans and those who share similar values. But those values have to be ingrained. And when you think about, that's one of the differentiators of our brand. We don't want handouts because we're primarily veteran-owned and veteran-operated. Mm-hmm. But because we're primarily veteran-owned and veteran-operated, we show up fit, polite, on time, treat people with dignity and respect, seek win, team approaches to things. Mm-hmm. Just like the cultures, norms, and values of the U.S. military.
I love that. And for people listening, the systems and processes that are ingrained in the military training just lend. That's why there's 1 out of 7 veterans that have owning franchises, whether it's veteran owned or not. It's just that you all are trained in systems and processes to ad nauseum. And
yeah,
it makes sense.
And can I say something about that too? I think most people think that veterans succeed beyond their peers in franchising because of that and that alone. And what I would argue is, yeah, we're used to following SOPs, but the U.S. military is the greatest military that's ever roamed the planet, not because we follow SOPs rotely, but because we're taught to understand commander's intent 2 levels above and nest within that intent. Mm. When we give a mission statement, we give who, what, where, when, and why. If it's an abbreviated statement, we give task and purpose. The veterans are taught to follow SOPs, follow orders, but if they understand the intent to make them better, to seek opportunities and to use their initiative. And that's something I think the American public doesn't truly appreciate, because I tell people the U.S. military is the greatest leadership development laboratory the world has ever seen. And we develop leaders.
There's no doubt about that. And that's part of the reason why I love doing this with veterans, without question. Let's talk about what it takes to get into your franchise, Vet Corps, the investment level, and then we'll talk about the item 19 as well. You can address those.
Yeah. So as you're aware, they're the line, standard line items in the FDD. Rough, and we basically have a menu of options. And I'll say roughly $250,000 to $300,000 is the investment. We recommend not using your money, other people's money, if you can. Mm-hmm. We have SBA loan partners, et cetera. We also have other funding partners. But that does several things. There's really three buckets. There's a franchise fee bucket for us. That's $60,000 for a territory, $10,000 discount for a veteran, so $50,000 for a veteran or their immediate family. Mm-hmm. There is the vehicles, equipment, all that kind of stuff. We generally recommend leasing stuff. With equipment, we recommend like a 3-year capital lease with a dollar buyout at the end. It's just financially, it makes more sense. You get to expense those lease payments, typically 7 years useful life or so. So after you pay them off in 3 years, you own them, you get at least four more years of useful life on it. And we have a partner in Enterprise Fleet Management that you don't have to use them, but we recommend you use them to lease the vehicles because mm-hmm. they're really good at fleet management. Mm-hmm. And so it's like outsourcing in the military, you call it a BMO, a battalion maintenance officer. And that comes with a fuel card, a maintenance plan. They'll meet with you quarterly and tell you, hey, this vehicle's doing well. This one's not. You need an oil change with that one. And it's a less expensive way for capital up front, but also, again, you're expensing those lease payments and things. So I think it's a very sound way to do it. And then the last bucket really is operating capital. And we want you to have 2 to 3 months operating capital in the bank. We have, with our model, another differentiator for us, because we're a preferred vendor for 11 TPAs, third-party administrators. When our franchisees get credentialed, typically 60 to 90 days to open, you've got to start spending money. You got to hire people. You got to get vehicles, insurance, all that stuff, right? Before you're even able to earn revenue. So you need a glide path. You need operating capital to get there. And then what we tell folks is you get reps and revenue right away because your territory gets turned on, you're credentialed. And so you get fed jobs right away. Now, those jobs aren't enough by themselves to make you sustainably profitable. But each one of them comes with an insurance adjuster, an insurance agent, an internal claims staff, a regional field manager for the TPA. Those are four sources that you establish relationships with for future referrals. Hmm. And in that 60 to 90 days to get open, we want our franchisees to go visit every agent, adjuster, realtor, property manager, apartment manager, anybody who could be a referral source and say, hey, we're a preferred vendor for all these insurance. So if you use an insurance claim, we can deal directly with the insurers. If you're not going to use an insurance claim, you can rest assuredly knowing that we have met their credentials, their standard for training, for excellence, for certificates of insurance, all that kind of stuff. And so what we want, though, then is to make sure that they have the operating capital to get them profitability and understand cash flow. Because sometimes veterans don't necessarily understand the aspects of that. Because in Uncle Sam, it's not a for-profit business when you're in the military.
That makes sense. That's a smart approach. What about the revenue side? I've got a quick question for you. How do you know if business ownership is even the right thing for you? I've got a brand new book coming out in just a few weeks called Your First Franchise Roadmap. And I address that question on the front end, the three different models of business ownership you could consider. And if it turns out to be franchising, where do you fit inside of that model? What's the best place for you to be? Well, we're going to talk about all that, unpack all that, and walk you through the steps towards franchise ownership. Check out yourfirstfranchise.com/roadmap and put your name on the list and I'll send you a free copy of the book. yourfirstfranchise.com/roadmap and I'll send you that free copy. Now, let's get back to the show.
Yeah, so the amazing thing is, as I talked about, things happen every day. Dishwashers, ice makers, hot water heaters. The restoration industry is a $210 billion industry. It's amazing. One of our differentiators as well is not only do we allow our franchises to operate within their territory, they have the ability to deploy outside their territory if there's a storm. Last 9 years, as a system, we've earned over $2 million just putting roof tarps on people's home when our franchisees and our subcontractors deploy to help people out in their time of need. As a result of that, though, in our item 19, what you'll see is a pretty big disparity because the franchisees that have deployed, we have one franchisee that's earned over $2 million in revenue because during Hurricane Ian, he was over in Pinellas County. He just went south and slung a bunch of roof tarps on. Mm-hmm. We have others that are immature because they haven't been open that long.
Sure.
And so that's key for people out there who might be interested in franchising, to understand. Everybody always says, look at the item 19, which is important, but the item 19 for an emerging franchisor like us is significantly different than one of our competitors who's been open for 10, 15 years.
Sure.
Because all their franchisees have been open 10 or 15 years. And so their revenues would be higher. So ours has a pretty big range, and ours are, because we've only been franchising for 4 years, we have no franchises that have been open longer than that. And most of them are have been open significantly less of it.
Gotcha. Now with the support and training, let's talk about that a little bit, that you all clearly, there's a lot of that, especially the training piece. So.
Yeah. So what I tell people is franchising, you probably heard this, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. For us, what we do is two phases. Phase one is as close to signing the franchise agreement as possible. Right? We want them to come here for a week-long training, and that's really generically how to be a small business owner. And we want them to be able to start their marketing campaigns and everything, to go out and visit and do referral marketing like I was talking about. Phase two is 2 weeks long, and that's really how to do the restoration stuff. The fire damage, the water damage, the temporary roof tarping, the mold jobs, and things like that. And that's the owner, the general manager, all the crew, et cetera. And we tuck that in as close to grand opening as possible because the owner has to start hiring. They've got to recruit and then hire people. And so their payroll starts accruing, right? And so we don't want them to accrue labor without the ability to earn revenue, but they have to for at least 2 weeks to train their staff. So you don't have to know how to do any of this stuff. We're going to train them how to do that our way. And what I like to tell people is, as I learned franchising, I became a certified franchise executive just over 3 years ago. Started when I dove into franchising. Franchising is all about training, standardizing, and replicating. Mm-hmm. Right?
Absolutely.
Do you know any institutions that have a great reputation at training, standardizing, and replicating?
I can't think of any right now. I don't know. It has something to do with the blue, red, and white, the red, white.
And the really cool thing about it now is our current chief operating officer, Kevin Elwood, 9 years ago, when he retired from the U.S. Army as a first sergeant, a year before he retired, he bought a College Hunks franchise. Mm-hmm. And then he turned it into a very successful business, $1 million+ in revenue per year, became an absentee owner. And then he became a franchise business consultant for College Hunks, training other franchisees. And then he pursued a even more positions of greater responsibility in the franchising industry. And he was the president of emerging brands for a major platform brand. Mm-hmm. So now that guy has all of this 20+ years of military experience, training, standardizing, replicating, plus 9 years in franchising. Mm-hmm. And he's the guy that's doing our awarding, training, onboarding. And in my opinion, they're none finer.
That's awesome. I love that. Who is regarding the marketing, obviously they're doing the grassroots stuff. Are there any other elements of the marketing that you all help? And the branding, by the way, the trucks looks fantastic. So that's a showpiece in itself and a magnet, I'm sure, for business.
Oh, man. I've got the Vetcore Jeep. That's what I drive personally, man. I get compliments on that thing. It's the coolest wrap. Red, white, and blue, but in the red, there's fire. In the blue, there's water. Super, super cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so the other cool thing about this is when Kevin came on board, because he had experience in the home services, he also gets how to do the direct to consumer advertising, which we have just recently started. Because our playbook, as I mentioned, is really the referral marketing with our relationships with the insurance carriers. And we still want to do that. Now we've expanded that as well. So we have a vendor that we have chosen. We've experimented with our company owned store here in Tampa. They're in the building right here behind us. It's the office that I started. And so you get all that support as well. And so it's a collective. And every month we host a franchisee huddle. Mm-hmm. And so we're sharing lessons learned, doing after action reviews, what happened, why it happened, how we can improve.
I love it. Who's the ideal candidate?
Yeah, there's really, peers isn't the right word, but there's really categories, right? One is someone like me, a retiring senior officer or senior non-commissioned officer from the U.S. military. Mm-hmm. They're probably the best candidate because one, they come with this immense resume and experience of leadership and management. Plus, as a retiree, they're already drawing an income. And so they have the ability to, the net worth and the ability to run a franchise, right? And get them to profitability. There's a second one that's maybe like a mid-grade non-commissioned officer or officer that got out of the military. It has tons of potential. The military is highly selective these days and had a great career to that point. But they're like, you know what? I had three deployments to Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever. I just can't do this anymore. So they still miss those cultures, norms, and values of the team. And they have the capability. They may not be as mature and have as much experience in leadership and management, but they come with a ton of what the U.S. military taught them. Then there's the guy or gal who maybe spent a tour, so let's say one tour duty, 4 or 5 years as enlisted or whatever, or a young officer, got out, has been successful in business, right? And has learned all the business acumen they need. But they really miss the cultures, norms, and values of the military, right? They miss the teamwork, being part of something bigger than themselves. And so they have the ability to run a business that maybe they're working in a Fortune 500 company or something, and they don't want to work for the man anymore. Mm-hmm. They want an opportunity to build wealth and build quality of life. And then finally, the last one is really any other kind of citizen, mostly senior business people that are interested in becoming business owners, that see the value in our brand. They don't have to be a veteran. They have to understand what our brand stands for and be willing to adhere to those same values of a veteran that we have.
Okay. And my last question, not my last question, but what is your vision for the business?
To become the brand known for timely, quality, reliable service and the value of veterans, and to become the premier private employer through our franchise system of veterans in the United States.
I love it.
Those are two pretty big bites. Yeah. But that's the grand vision. And we're on a path to that because we want to, we talked about the gap between veterans and society. And it is the number of veterans continues to go down and our armed forces stay pretty low. Imagine Mrs. Johnson at home, who's a dishwasher, the hose pops off and she needs help, and maybe older lady. And all she knows is that the insurance company referred this company called VetCorps. And then somebody shows up on time, fit, polite, in a collared shirt, steps in there, wipes their shoes off, calls her ma'am. And now we're reflecting that brand of veterans. And maybe she doesn't, maybe she's one of the people that doesn't have a brother, cousin, spouse, son, whatever, who had served in the military. And now we're her first experience with veteran. Yeah. And we want to be able to represent that brand proudly.
Absolutely. All right. Top advice to somebody that's considering a franchise, so that they can reach their, whether it's VetCorps or any other franchise.
Yeah, so I'm carrying this around on my phone. I'm not sure if you can see it or not.
All right, what you got?
But I'll read it to you. It's a little graphic, and I show it to franchisees.
I love it.
The Venn diagram.
Okay.
It says, if you can find the intersection of what you love doing, what the world needs, what you can be paid for, and what you're good at, that's the center there. That's the purpose. And if you can find those four things, you'll never work another day in your life.
That's a sweet
spot. I wish I had that when I transitioned, but I didn't. I wish I had that even when I started franchising. I just found it a couple years ago. And so what I tell franchisees is, if the opportunity of the Vet Corps is what you love doing, you don't have to love restoration, but you got to love helping people. You got to love building teams. You got to love representing the brand known for timely, quality, reliable service. What the world needs. The world is always going to need restoration work. The American dream is still to own a home. If you want to own a home, unless you're independently wealthy, you got a mortgage. You got a mortgage, you have to have home insurance. What you can be paid for, home insurance pays for almost everything that we do. They were a recession-proof, pandemic-proof, inflation-proof environment. What are you good at? You don't have to be good at restoration. We're going to teach you that, and you're going to become good at that. You got to be good at building teams. You got to be good at representing the brand. You got to be able to talk to people, establish relationships. We want relationships, not transactions.
Yep.
And if you can find those four things with our opportunity, then we might have a fit. Then the question is, adopt them and fit for them and for us.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. All right. That's a perfect place for us to button it up. Folks, if you would like to learn more about VetCorps, get in touch with me. I'm working with Paul and his team. Check out yourfirstfranchise.com, hit the contact us button, and I'll be in touch right away. Paul, this has been a lot of fun. We're here to support you. We will promote this, get this out there, get the word out there for you guys, because your business has unlimited potential. That's what I see. Blue sky, blue ocean for you guys. No question.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate your shared passion for creating opportunities for veterans as well. Thanks.
Anytime. Anytime. And that is a wrap with Paul. And folks, I love this space. In fact, I'm going to be interviewing another gentleman who runs a nonprofit that helps place veterans in new opportunities. Could be franchising, it could be with a company. But if this franchise, I love VetCore. I love what they do. I love the mission and I love their values. And I want to help promote this. So if you know someone who is a veteran or maybe not even a veteran that you think might be interested in this mission, because it's mission-based, it's service-based. It not only will change their lives, it will change the lives of their family. It will change their lives of the community. And how fitting was it? A thunderstorm started rolling through here while we're talking about restoration. And I'm in South Louisiana. We've got a little bit of experience with thunderstorms and hurricanes and so forth. But like he said, it's all the daily things that go wrong with a property that need to be restored and restored quickly so no further damage or threat to the people who live in that building are at risk. So I want to thank you. You know the drill. Hit the bell, subscribe, share this message, and be intentional and make today a great day. Bye.